Now, with spring coming, you know, it was always customary, most ladies in the past, that was the time they got their hair cut, you know, and got all curled for the summer. Isn't that right? That was the old-time way. Well, my wife, she's still old-time. She got a new do. And, you know, Tiny. Well, Tiny got a new do-do. Well, I just got done in. Anyway, it's good to be back with you. Going along with message this morning, little story real quick. An old country doctor celebrated for his wisdom. Dr. Sage, the young man asked, "How'd you get so wise?"
"Well, it worked hard," said the doc. "I've got good judgment." Now, good judgment comes from experience.
And he says, and experience comes from having made bad judgment. I thought that was a little bit of wisdom I might share this morning. We go through that, but we sure ought to learn after we do it once. You know, and if we have been told and we listen, we can avoid that stuff. And going through bad experiences consistently, because I believe that God will lead us. You know, I hope you all know that we have a website. I hope you all know that. Anyone that doesn't know we have a website? One person. He come to church last week, first time. We have a website, KeshoctonBaptistChurch.org. And as you go on there, you go down to resources. And you can click on resources and all of the messages that's been preached from this pulpit for the last year and a half or so is archived on the website, so you can go and listen to it. Well, the good thing about that is Mike brought a great message last week, and I hope you were all here to hear it, because I got to go on, even though I was in Lehigh Acres, Florida, I got to go on and hear that message. And I was delighted, because, you know, he began to relate again to you, and it was a little bit of back to basics type things, but he started to relate to us exactly them things that God gives us. And he tries to give us a big picture based upon the scripture of the things we need to do and to do correctly and to do it right. And if we do all of those things, then God can bless us. If we choose to ignore him, then we miss the blessings. Now, God doesn't make this rocket science stuff. It's pretty down-to-earth stuff. And I thought Mike really brought it out well last week, and I got a lot of appreciation for that. Because he spoke to the individuals, each one of us, some things we need to do, understanding our talents, understanding the experiences we have. Well, we shouldn't, if we've had a bad experience, we shouldn't want to go back there. If we listen to God and we get into that prayer life and we really start to grow close to Him, how much easier that is. And you say, well, that's so basic. You know what? I think it's so cotton-picking basic that nobody wants to do it anymore. It's back to basics. And let me tell you something that I have a real concern about, and I'm going to address that this morning. I'm going to do it scripturally. But God has given us a big picture of the things that we need to do in this church. It's pretty simple, too. And we've tried to develop those ministries so we each can take a part of that and make this the lighthouse for the community that it's supposed to be. The ministries, of course, you know, we've got a lot of them. We got Awana. MOPS groups are meeting here. We certainly have a great Sunday school. We got a visitation ministry, you know. We have a big one coming up. And you know, if we choose to make the wrong decisions in our lives, called sin, you know, sin not only affects us individually, but sin affects us corporately. What I mean corporately, I mean whenever you sin, it just doesn't affect you. It affects many other people. Many other, perhaps, groups of people that many times have to suffer because of our bad judgments. And that's kind of where we're going to go this morning with a story here in a moment, because I want to take Joshua in a moment and we will expand upon that. But I want us to know that if you don't know, I want to expand upon this morning what's going on with us as a church. Some of us know that we got a daycare board, and some of us know that we have a daycare aspirations. It doesn't, you don't have to be a rocket scientist whenever you have every parent, every school-age student in Coshocton City Schools right in your backyard. That's not rocket science stuff. That we need to have a latchkey ministry and a daycare ministry to reach parents. And at the same time, not just have the daycare and latchkey, but take our parenting classes and put it right in there too. Now, that's not rocket science stuff. That's pretty down-home basic stuff, but yet it's a big, big opportunity, a big undertaking. Let me tell you where God has taken us so far with that, because I think you need to know that Katie Martin has did a great job in working in various different areas, and she's enlisted a lot of other people to work in a lot of different areas. You got a board that's working in a lot of different areas. Let me tell you what's going on. So far, we have submitted a plan of operation to the state of Ohio, and we have had an advocate assigned to us, and that advocate will help us get started up, do things right, advise us. We have a kitchen that's been now approved for limited food service. We had a fire marshal come in and do a re-inspection, and we got everything in line. We have an employee handbook that's been written. We have a parental handbook that's been written. There is a tremendous amount of work, and now we're beginning to work on timeline implementation, and we're going to be doing the prospectus and see how it's all going to work out financially. You know, those are the things. There's many, many things in the bulletin this morning. You now have an opportunity to pick up some things at yard sales and help with that. You know, that's the big thing. We want to try to start up without a lot of expense. So that's an opportunity for us. I want to relate that this morning to perhaps a pretty commonly known story about the children of Israel. And how they had, of course, we know that they, before I go there, let me just give you a little bit of background. Because there's some of you that maybe don't understand. Whenever I talk about the children of Israel, maybe you don't understand. That's God's chosen people. That's one. Number two, there was a famine in Israel that forced the Israelites to move south to Egypt. And whenever they got down to Egypt, fell into slavery, into bondage. And they had been down there for a long time, many generations, and there was millions of them now that had reproduced. And they were in slavery, and they was in bondage, and they was crying out. They wanted release. They wanted to go back to their homeland. But the homeland had been taken over by some other people by this time. And so God called that fellow called Moses. Remember at the burning bush, and he called him and he says, "Hey, Moses, you go down. I want you to go down here." And Moses, of course, give all kinds of excuses why he shouldn't go, sometimes like we do. But eventually Moses went. And then Moses, because he had this group of people that was pretty difficult, he still led them for 40 years until he got them right up to the brink of the Jordan River, ready to cross into the promised land, which was Israel. Well, because Moses had also sinned, Moses got to look at the promised land, but he didn't get to go in. And that's kind of where I want to pick up this story this morning. I just want to fast forward, get you to where we are. Because where we're going to take up residence here this morning for a little while is in the scriptures that's about 30, 39 days after Moses has died. And the children of Israel, well, they've mourned for 30 days over the death of Moses. And of course, they wanted to see him go into the promised land, but God had said, no, you're not going to see the promised land. Why? Because Moses had already also sinned against God, and he had not heard the instructions clearly, got mad, beat the rock, all kinds of things. But nevertheless, Moses is gone, and now God chose a new person to lead the children across the Jordan and in to take the promised land. Well, that fell upon a fellow by the name of Joshua. And Joshua, God bless him, he was a great leader. He could fall into some emotional difficulties, but he essentially was a pretty decent leader. And so that's kind of where we're going to pick up this morning. Now, before I get into reading any scripture, I want to take you a little bit further so that you get up to the point of where we are. Here's these millions of people now. And there's literally millions that he was leading for that 40 years through the wilderness, so to speak, but trying to get them to the promised land. And they're on the brink of the river. And on the other side of the river, the other side of the Jordan, there is a fortified city called Jericho that has walled, it's a great walled city. And these people, because they seen these millions of Israelites, they was all holed up inside the walls of Jericho. Jericho was also a very, very prominent place where they had gold and silver and precious things, Babylonian garments and so forth, that they wanted to protect. And so they stayed inside the walls. Let's keep in mind also, because I want to build this case with you so that you really try to grasp this. And if you have your cell phone on, please turn it off. I'm not ready to compete with the cell phone business this morning. Thank you. I'm sorry I had to say that, but that's where God took me. We are in Jericho, a fortified city, and we have a group of people that's ready to go, but they don't know what to do. God says to Joshua, he told him the story, and I probably don't have to elaborate on this, but he told him, go around the city 7 times on 7 different days, and on the last day, he says, you shout and the walls will come tumbling down. Pretty simple. Straightforward. People had to believe that, though, by faith, didn't they? And they did. They believed that by faith because they believed that Joshua was leading them and Joshua was getting direction from directly from God. And so it was a straightforward shot, and they did that. Now, I want to pick that up there because, and I want to read directly from the Word of God here, that's in chapter 6. That God says, okay, I'm going to tell you how to do it, but he says, of all of the things that's inside those walls of Jericho, I guess I'll just tell you the story. I'll get more scripture in a minute. He says, of all the things that's in Jericho, that's the first city of 7 that I want you to take if you want the promised land. Of that first, because it's the first fruits, it's the first city, he says, you shall not take anything personally from that spoils that's in that city. Spoils meaning gold, silver, precious, whatever. All of that stuff that's in Jericho behind those walls shall come into the treasury of the Lord. He says, and if you take anything, it will be accursed. It will be a curse upon you. And God says, I will remove my blessings from you. Well, I'll tell you the story. Yes, they did march around the city seven times. Seventh day, they shouted, walls came down, and big dust, fire. Dust apparently was there from the walls tumbling down. And they all went rushing in, and of course, it was easy to take Jericho. When all that was happening, there was one guy that got out of the will of God. And his name was Achan. And that guy decided, he says, well, all those people are doing these other things. He says, and I've been a great servant. I've followed what Moses told me to do. I'm trying to follow what Joshua's telling me to do. And what would it hurt if I just took some gold and some silver and some spoils? You know, I think I've worked for all these things. I think I ought to be able to take them. And that was his attitude. So he did. Now, I told you the story. God said, no. Don't do this. It's accursed. It's to all come to the treasury. Now, Achan's got some. He takes it to his tent. He hides it under his little cot. And he's sleeping on top of it. Now, whenever he takes it into his tent, his family knows that he got it. Probably his mother, father, kids, servants, whatever he had. They knew he had it. Perhaps even some of the people around him also knew that he had it. But not one person took him on and tried to correct him. They all knew that God said no. You cannot take of anything that's accursed. He says it's the first fruits. We give our first fruits, it goes into the treasury of the Lord. And so God meant it. And because they refused to listen, I'm going to keep telling you the story. I'll get to scripture. Hang with me. But I want to have some continuity with this. What happens? Because one guy, Achan, was disobedient and he failed to follow the directions, the whole group of people had their blessings removed. And here's what happened. God gave them the first city, remember? Next city, Ai. What happens? They go to Ai. First of all, they sent up some spies. They come back and said, no problem. We don't have to send up the whole army. We don't have to send up the whole army to take Ai. We'll just send up 2,000 or 3,000 men and let them take it. Guess what? They were soundly defeated. 38 men or 36 men was killed. Which meant that there was some daddies. There were some brothers. There was a husbands that were taken, killed. Because God had removed his blessings from that group of people. He was with them. He says, I'm going to give you this land. He says, these seven cities are in front of you. The first was Jericho. All that stuff comes to me. And then they go to the second. Achan sinned. They go to the second. They're soundly defeated. The 2,000 or 3,000 men are driven out and 36 men killed. Why? Because God had removed his blessings and his protection from these people that now are in sin because of one man. Why am I telling you this? Last week, Mike was sharing with you what you need to do as an individual. Today, I want to try to share with you what we have got to do as a body of believers, is to stay in tune with God. You know, we don't have to get into anything that's ever a bickering thing. Because you know what? What talent that one person has, or spiritual gift that another has, and the other one has something else, they all fit together, folks. They complement one another. That's how God works. He brings people together. Just like he brought that army together of gods that they could have went and taken all seven cities without a problem. But because of one man said, I'm not going to do what God says, he rebelled. I'm not going to do what God said. Nope, not going to do it. And what happened? Many suffered because of one person's sin. Today, you might say, well, it's just a little white lie. It's just a little sin. It's not no big thing. God won't even know. Let me tell you that God is an all-knowing God. He knows every word that comes out of your mouth. He knows every thought that's in your mind. He knows every deed that you do that's in disobedience to Him. And it's not a place where we want to go. And I think this is a perfect, perfect one, because sin will always have its consequences. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but sin will have its consequences. Now, because I've told you that story, and because I want to pick it up, I'm going to go to Joshua chapter 7, and I want to read it to you. Just because I was trying to bring everything in continuity, now I want to read exactly from God's Word. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Here's what he says. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, and the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Against the children of Israel. Got it? Everybody. Because of one person's sin. Always going to pay the price. Let me go on. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven, to the east side of the Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up, and they spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, don't let the whole people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. And then he says, do not worry, for the people there, the people of Ai, are few. So about 3,000 went up there, and the people, and they fled before the people of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, and they chased them from before their gate. They intimidated them. They not only won, they chased them back home. After God says, I'll give you the victory. But what God also said, I'll take you out of the place of blessing. I will no longer be with you, he said, if you want to follow the sinful pattern that I've denied you. Well, let's go on. I'm sure that Achan had purpose in his heart that it was okay. And that happens with every one of us from time to time in our lives, where we will justify in our own little pea-picking minds that it's okay. That this thing that we know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us that says he says no, we justify in our little pea-picking mind, and Satan just has a ball in here in your mind, playing with your mind, saying it's okay, nothing wrong there, it'll be okay. Let me tell you something. If it's sin, God's not telling you it's okay. I can assure you of that. And so if we know that it's sin and we go ahead and do it, we not only subject ourselves to an angry God. Oh, I know God paid the price for every sin, but you've got to repent. You've got to turn away from it, and you've got to ask forgiveness and stay away from it. There is no autonomy in the kingdom of God, if I might say that clear. You cannot sin and get away with it. Ever, ever, ever. There will always be a price to pay. And Achan, like all of the rest, he had heard the instructions. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do. Yet he disbelieved what the consequences might be of God leaving them. I've told you that it was the first fruits. Just like you and I have a responsibility to give the first fruits. You know, there's something I learned a long time ago, and it's very true, that sin will always take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than what you want to pay. None of us want to pay the price for sin. But because we fall into it, because we, oh, it's okay. God's not going to, no. God knows, God sees, and God will deal with it if you don't. Why am I going into such detail? Because if this church is going to be effective and to get into the promised land and to go the way we need to go, then we've got to go and do so the way God tells us to go. And that's not living in sin. That's not hiding things in our houses. That's not saying these things, well, they're there, but nobody knows. God does. And why am I saying this? Why is it so important to this church? Because every ministry of this church is going to be dependent upon how the outside world sees this church. How your friends, your neighbors, your next door neighbors see you. You are a reflection upon this body of believers that God has brought together. And I want to tell you, I love every one of you. I care about you. And if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be bringing this type of message. God laid it upon my heart, and I didn't back down from it. Because sin is sin, folks. And we've got to evaluate where we are in each one of our lives. Why is it important? Not only to us personally, but to us as a corporate body. To the ministries that we have before us. To the daycare that we're trying to get initiated. Is it important? Will the daycare be effective if we have a church that's sinful? And we have that kind of a reputation? I doubt it. You see, that's why it's so important. We get a grip on this. And we become what we're supposed to be. The application, I believe, that I've got to bring forward here is that hidden or unconfessed sin in the life of a Christian, it will rob you of your witness and it'll rob you of the power. And that's what we've seen with the children going to Ai. It robbed them of the wisdom because they didn't pray before they went up there. They said, oh, that's no problem there. Just take 2,000 or 3,000 men and go up and do it. You know, if you read further, you'll see where God says, take everybody and go get them. It was almost like they had a Baptist business meeting and they decided how it was going to handle, rather than getting the Spirit of God moving in their lives. Number two, Achan, his family and all that he possessed, they were destroyed. And God removed the favor from the people of Israel. He removed everything. He took it away from them. Hidden or unconfessed sin will hinder the development of God's ministries in our church. I want to read on chapter 7, verses 6 to 12. Then Joshua tore his clothes. After he was defeated now, he tore his clothes and he fell on the earth and before his face in the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord that until evening. And he said to the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought these people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Why? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan? Is that what your reason was? Oh, Lord, what shall I say when the Israelites turn its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut us off from our name, from the earth. Then what will you do with your great name? Who really is Joshua concerned about? Joshua is concerned about him and what the reputation of the people's, not what God had said, not what God wanted, but he was more concerned. How did this thing come down? Let's go on. Because here's what the Lord said to Joshua, chapter 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Remember, he's down on his face, sackcloth and ashes. He says, get up. Why do you lie thus to your face? And Israel has sinned, he says, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before the enemies, but turned their cause that they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you. Listen to that. God's saying this. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. And then he said to Joshua, get up. He says, get up and sanctify the people. In other words, set those people aside. Let them see what they got to do. Set them apart for God's service. He says, people, say, and sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away of the accursed thing. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Joshua did that. It was a hard thing. It had to be a hard thing for Joshua. Because he says, God was saying it. Joshua was wondering, why did this happen? And God came right back and said, this is why it happened. He says, you got to remove these accursed things from you. And so they did. Joshua was whining for his own benefit. Whining to God. How many times do we do the same thing? We whine when things go wrong in our lives, whenever God is really trying to show us where we need to be. God was very clear. Get up. Stop your whining. You've whined long enough. You can get rid of your sackcloth and ashes too. Because I'm telling you, you got some work to do, Joshua. They're sitting in the camp. And you got to get rid of it. So they did. God then commanded all of Israel about that they had to get rid of that accursed thing. And it's too bad. As you go on through the story, the next thing that happened was it was not just Achan that was taken. It was his children. It was the things, all of his inhabitants, all of his personal property, all of it was taken and burned. First of all, we could read, and maybe I need to read it, but I'll tell you the story. God's judgment came down upon Achan and his family because of their disobedience, and they was taken out and stoned by the children of Israel. They were stoned until death and then burned. Pretty harsh. We think it's pretty harsh. Sometimes whenever God allows some things to happen in our lives to get us back on track, they're kind of hard too. But God always is right. I thought, what if Achan, when he knew that they was coming down and they was going through, and I could read this to you, but you can go read it yourself. They was going through tribe by tribe by tribe, by family, tribe to family, to figure out who had taken of the accursed. Achan knew that was happening. Achan knew that judgment was coming. And you know what? He kind of cowered down. He says, they ain't going to find me. There's millions of people here. I'm just one person. They're never going to find me. You know what happened? God said, take it this way. Follow it tribe by tribe, family by family, until we get to the family that took of the accursed. And you know what? All this time, Achan is probably aching. He's wondering, are they really going to find out about me? Are they really going to find out? All of this time, you can think about this. There is a conviction that's coming upon Achan. I mean, I can't believe the conviction that must have been coming upon him. And yet, you know what? He never jumped up. He never jumped up in the middle of the night whenever his hands were shaking. When he was going, the sweat was on his brow and his hands were shaking. He was laying there in the sleepless nights. And the conviction was coming upon him when he could have jumped up. He could have rolled up his bed. He could have picked up those shekels of silver, the piece of gold and the Babylonian garment. And he could have taken it and given it to Joshua and said, Joshua, I erred. I'm sinful and here's what I took. He could have. He could have. But he didn't. He let them come and prove his sin. In my own heart, I just believe that if he would have jumped up at any time and went and repented and gave those things back and asked forgiveness, that God would have forgiven him. What do you think? But he had to do it. He had to do it. I think there's another reason that God allowed it to go that way, because now what God really do? He impressed upon all of the people that sin is no playground and no place to play. Sin is a place that not only brings judgment upon me, but a judgment upon other people and other occurrences, other ministries, other homes. Whenever one gets into extra family affairs, it's just not one. It's just not one. It's just not two. It's families. And it's families of families. And that's what happens. When one gets into drugs, it's not just one family. It's just not one person. It's a multitude of people that are all affected. Whenever we tell that one little lie, just one little lie, just itty bitty one, we think it's itty bitty, but it has an impact upon so many people that are around us and affects so many people, and judgment is brought. I can't imagine how Achan might have felt. But in reality, I can. And so can you. We've all been there. But since we went there, like the little story I told you earlier today, because we all been there, we had that experience. And that experience should bring some good judgment that we don't want to go back there. I can't imagine how Achan might have felt. A couple final points I want to make here. If we was to go over to, and I'm not reading all the scripture, but I'm sure trying to give you the concepts. In Joshua chapter 8, in verses 1 and 2, after it's all over. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. He says, see that I've given unto your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land. And you shall do it to Ai and the king as he did to Jericho and its king. Only, he says, listen to this. He says, only its spoil, its cattle, you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush in the city behind it. All the things that are now in the city of Ai, God's saying it's yours. He called it booty. He says, take it all. The cattle, take it all. It's all yours. You see, if Achan had only waited upon the Lord, if he could only have waited and just taken what God was going to give to him and to give to God what God required of him, Achan would have probably got more than what he stole. It's too bad. Because Achan had the opportunity to receive mercy. And he had the opportunity to receive forgiveness. How do I know that? I'm going to tell you exactly scripturally how I know that. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. But folks, if I can just tell you, if God strike me dead, but I can tell you this. You hide your sin and you'll lose God's blessings. But if you admit your sins and your shortcomings and seek repentance and then forgiveness, God will forgive you and put you back in a place of blessings. And folks, that's where in all my heart I can pour out to you. That's where I want all of us, in a place of God's blessings. But we can't get into these nitty-bitty things of wanting to argue. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to argue with anybody. Here, my friends, is the answer to everything. We don't have to have disagreements over anything. We don't have to have arguments. We don't have to wonder what's right. We can go right in here and we can find the answer to all of it. And I encourage that. Sin is devastating in the life of a Christian. And may I say it loud and clear, that God will deal with sin. It hurts more folks. It will remove more blessings from this body. Hidden and unconfessed sin is costly. Hidden and unconfessed sin, as we've seen this morning, affects more than just us individually. And God makes that clear. And God doesn't like it. And God's going to remove us from places of blessings if we try to continue. Hidden and unconfessed sin will eventually be revealed. I can assure you that God will. So I encourage you today, if there's something in your life that you know and I know that God would not like, that it's contradictory to what He says in His Word, and if you know that that's there in your life, it's time to get rid of it, my friends. I tell you that in all the love that I can pour out from the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time to get rid of it. We don't have to carry around a lot of excess baggage in our lives. We don't have to. And God doesn't want us to. He's waiting for you this morning at this altar to come and dump it upon Him and walk out of here free, free from the miseries of it. And I encourage that. That's the beginning of salvation, is forgiveness of sin. And this morning, if you've never yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that this morning, this will be the morning that you say, I believe. I do believe that Jesus went to that cross. I do believe He paid a price for my sin with His shed blood. And because I believe that, I want Him in my heart. I want Him in my life. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I'm not hurting anyone else. And I don't want to hurt anyone else. I want to know that I can walk freely. And I want to know that I can walk with my head in the air and I don't have to have my head down when I pass that one in the street. Folks, I'm telling you, God loves you. I love you. I've told you that 3 times. God loves you more than whatever I could love you. I don't know that I could come to the point where I'd go to that cross for you, but I know someone that did. He paid a price for us. Every one of us. And this morning He's calling us to come to Him and dump these things that might be in our lives here on this altar and leave them so that it does not affect you, your friends, your family, this church, or the ministries of this church. May we stand and pray together. Father, You are a precious God. And I thank You and I love You with all my heart. And now we go into this invitation, Lord. We pray that You'll bring those, all of those ones that have sin now, that they might come and leave them here at this altar and not pick up any more of those habits. But that we leave them here this morning and leave them with You. And we ask You to cover every one of them as You already have in the name of Jesus. As we go into this invitation, if one is here this morning and has not yet received Christ as their Lord and Savior, we pray, Lord, that You'll bring them. And we thank You for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to have an invitation, but you don't have to wait till that invitation is being sang or whatever. You come now. If God's calling you to come, there's something in your life that's there and you know it's there, don't be a fool and hold on to it. Bring it and give it to Him. I encourage that with all my heart. Don't hold on to it.
Lord, have Thine own way.